Ladies and gentlemen, as I start most of these shows off, we don't own copyrights. None of the music. We just like the vibe. This one coming from Jazzman Jeff. It's called Jeff's Groove. Y'all know tuned in to Walker the Walker. Let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to Walker the Walker, man. I'm your man, Lou Walker. Sitting across from me is the OG himself, Mr. OG Joe himself. How we doing? How we doing?
Good, good, good. It's been a good day so far.
You know, that's right.
Yeah. Anytime you can get up, man, and get your thing going, your day moved on, you know, it's a good day.
I agree. You know, I always like to tell people, as long as you can wake up and be able to move towards something, It's always good.
Always a good day.
Always good. It's always
just, you know, most people are saying now, oh, I woke up this morning.
You know?
That's a sign of a good day. You got a 50-50 chance from that perspective.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah, you know, because he wake you up, that's half the battle. Now you got the rest on your own shoulder. You know, he's going to see you through as long as you're putting out an effort.
Yeah, you're right, though. I mean, I'll always advocate that, just, you know, you have the choice, or you don't have the choice, but, you know, the option is there, you know.
Yeah.
Either you're going to wake up or you're not. And when you wake up, the last thing you want to do is take that day for granted.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You gotta value the time that you have to breathe on this crazy world that we're living in.
Oh, it is definitely that. And it's... I don't think we've seen the worst yet.
Nah, the worst is yet to come.
Yeah, you know. So
one of my main fears when it boils down to it is the reality of Ms. Kamala Harris able to pull all of this endorsement, able to get the campaign on go, and she still lose.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to always know that there's that possibility.
Yeah, you got to.
You know, and you approach it with that in precept, you know.
Yeah.
But you always push forward for better.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, the disappointment don't be so much in the likely event that it doesn't materialize for
right.
it. But, you know, at this point in time, I think everybody is... You know, full steam ahead, man.
No, definitely. No, you know, you always got to keep an open mind, but you also got to get out there and vote. You know, you can't be there and saying that, you know, Kamala Harris should win, or Trump should win. You shouldn't say either of those things if you're not going to get at that poll and cast that vote yourself.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, I think there's another way to approach it rather than she should. I think most of you enthusiasts, you know, are saying she's going to.
There you go.
When you're going out there, particularly if you're a pollster, you know, you're doing all this because you got this feeling that she's going to win.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody that put forth the effort is like, she's going to win this thing.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to win this thing. So... And I want to, in fact, I do believe the same, you know, but you know, we probably should look at some differences in the two candidates, from the perspective of character.
Okay.
You know, because it should matter.
Yeah.
You know, here you, America carries themselves or portray themselves as the biggest, the strongest, the best of everything there is to be waged against. In other words, whatever character other countries want to call for America.
Yeah.
You know, we have to stand up to it. You know, we have to be the best of the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know, we can't portray ourselves as such and not be
as such.
As such, you know, so
I agree.
That's the dichotomy right there.
Okay.
You know, so in saying that, you would almost always want to put your best foot forward.
Always.
And in this climate, you know, best foot, best person for the job.
Right.
You know. So, is there a comparison, really?
You know?
Is there a comparison? You know, you got one guy that's being considered a super cop.
Yeah.
And you got another guy who's been considered a super criminal.
Yeah.
So, you put both of those guys on the stage.
Right.
To represent America.
Okay.
And then you have this overhead capture says that America is a country of laws.
Right.
Okay. So that's what we tell every other country that tries to infiltrate America. We're a nation of laws.
Right.
You know, we adhere to the laws.
Right.
You know, the rules of the land.
Yeah.
You know. So how is it that you're going to have such a candidate to represent that has actually broken more of such? I don't get that. See, that baffles me. And how can we endorse such person? You know,
you want to speak on baffling, you know. Speaking towards the culture, it's baffling to me how we can have a candidate like Kamala Harris and our community saying, no, you know, she locked away all of our, you know, our men long for simple petty crimes and this, that, and the third, as if this young lady wasn't a prosecutor. What is she supposed to do? It's her job.
That's her job.
You know what I mean? Like, it's her job to pull the maximum. And if she's able to do that in the law, don't be mad at her. Be mad at the defense attorney that couldn't outdo her.
That's who you blame.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So for y'all to say that and then to turn around and tell the world that you're endorsing a man who was just recently convicted of fraudulent funding, and that's okay? Is it because y'all are somewhat on the both sides of the same law? Because y'all both are on that guilty side of, I don't know. Because I don't believe that, no, like, people are really saying, okay, let's put a convicted felon in office after so many years of saying we don't need convicted felons in office.
And, but you, and to your point, so now we talk about all the other countries that are being bought out by the cartels,
right,
in the underworld,
right,
being run by cartels in the underworld.
Okay.
And we look at them in a very critical perspective.
Yeah.
You know, now, so we look at war criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we you know, we call them what they are.
Right.
So we try to prosecute them for being such.
Okay.
But then you look back over your shoulder, you got a guy that's a criminal.
Uh-huh.
A convicted one as such.
Uh-huh.
And you want to put him in the Oval Office to represent your country.
And to your point, let's take a step back. Let's loosen the microscopic look.
Okay.
And really ask yourself, do you want somebody who's very, very good at their job? Or do you want somebody that can get caught doing fraudulent stuff. It's like, if you're a business owner, do you want the person that's going to take the $20 or $50 out of the register, or the person that's going to do the correct IT work that you need done? Like, that's where we're at in America. And we're over here saying, okay, the guy that is willing to pull the money out of the register when no one is looking is the better candidate than the person that makes sure that everything, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
Right, right.
And then you want to throw, the Hail Mary. Oh, well, what about the border thing? Da, 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 da. I said, well, what about Walmart? Do you see any of Sam Walton's kids checking out them damn stores? I didn't think you did. Why does she have to check it out herself when she has people appointed to do the job?
Right, right. You know, and I think that's just a way to criticize.
Yeah.
You know, you take any all the presidents that I can recall, anytime we had a major disaster in our country, those presidents were there to support the cities, states, or whatever.
Right.
There was never a time when one did not show up.
Right.
That's commendable. You got illegal border crossing, and what I think the news have been calling it, an invasion.
Yes, I've read that.
And so it didn't just start.
It's been going.
Even I can remember a time when Ronald Reagan was president, you know, and that's when, you know, they was doing this, call it open and closing of the borders, you know. Only so many people can come into the country legally.
Right.
You know, even at that time, they were still crossing illegally.
Yeah.
You know, but the focus then wasn't on illegal crossing. It was more on
the legality.
The legal ones that were coming in, because those people that he, you know, that Reagan was, you know, said to come in the country, they had something to offer.
Right.
You know, there were professionals.
Yes.
There were doctors and lawyers and it's all kind of practitioners. You know, there were teachers and, you know, so in fact, there were some farm workers.
Yeah.
Agricultural type people, you know, which we still need.
Yeah.
So the doors were always opened, but we want you to come through the door.
Of course.
You know, so that is a way for either candidate to bash the other.
Yeah.
Okay, so he went to the border. Let's say the former president went to the border.
Okay.
When he was in office, did it stop him? So what's the point in and making that an issue?
Right.
You know, they asked her, she was doing an interview with someone, and they asked her, has she been to the borders? And she said, I've not been to Europe either. You know.
Neither Iran.
Yeah, you know. So
Ukraine, I haven't been anywhere.
Going to the border is not magical. That's not going to stop people from coming.
What does that mean? In my eyes, it's like when the society or the media, we call it that, when the media decides they want to highlight these imperfections, such as non-visits to a process that's already been put in place years ago, that means that you really don't have anything on her.
What we call it in the novel world, you know, nitpicking.
Yeah.
Nitpicking. Yeah. Well, let's not talk about the things that they didn't do. Let's talk about the things that they did do. See, that's how campaigns should be driven.
I believe so.
You know, not on your imperfections or lack of, but on the things that your record that you've created.
Right.
As you endeavor, you know. So would it be too enormous, or would it be too heartbreaking, too disappointing? I don't know why we don't push those issues.
I just don't understand.
Negative campaigning it should be a thing of the past.
I'm going to just say this, and then we're going to tap into what's on tap for today. But I really don't understand how a campaign can really go through the process of raising all of this money. We're not talking about minuscule money here. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
You know, we're making all of this money, and y'all thought the best way to spend that money is to smear your opponents.
Yeah.
What the hell am I giving you my money for? Just so you could badmouth? You could do that with a damn tweet. Trump done showed you that. come on.
Yeah, and I guess, the Inquirer.
Yeah.
You know, they used to call those things smut magazine, the Globe.
Tabloids.
Yeah, those tabloids. And see, there was a point in time, and it still exists today.
Right.
That your society thrives
off on of
negative and
it,
bad.
It sure does.
You know.
In today's time, it shows that it works. If we were in a position where energy was based on negativity, we would be the most energetic country out here. That's pretty much what we rock on.
Yeah, but I think we'll see it in all the other countries too. I think that's just human nature.
I feel like they'll be stronger than us because they have that level of hate. Like, I was looking at the Olympics, and the young lady was doing the news, and she was like, nothing made her more happier than to not have to hear the Star Spangled Banner.
Really, man?
Yeah. You know, she was from Australia, I believe.
Okay.
But it's like, for them to, you know, and even though that's competitive, and, you know, that's it's unrelated to what to what we're speaking on, but it's the mindset,
negative.
Yeah, the fact that we're not even a respectable opponent, we're just the guys that everybody is just so happy to beat. Like, they're so obnoxious. I can't wait to whoop them. Like that. That's the mentality. That's how it looks. That's just how it looks.
Well, see. And we had a conversation once before about bringing out the best of a person.
Yeah.
Competition does that.
It does.
When you are the best.
Right.
Everybody is trying to beat you.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to defeat America.
Yeah.
You know, everybody want to come to America. But then when they get to America, then all of a sudden the country that they just left is the best place on the planet Earth. You know, and I'm going, well, why are you here?
You know what I mean?
You know, if you get to America and then you start talking about how bad it is, we didn't call for you. You know,
so
pack up and go back to where you came from or someplace else. But at any rate.
Let's tap in. What's on tap for today, OG?
Well, that was weighing heavy. But, you know, so let me just go to the point before we get back into here.
Okay.
So we have a presumptive nominee, because she hasn't been officially.
No, not yet.
You know, not to the convention.
Right.
You know, our presumptive nominee has energized the Democratic base. I say ours because she would be a president for the people, just as President Biden.
Right.
You know, so when I look at a president or any political pundit, I see them as politicking for the people, not just for the party.
Right.
See, so that's one thing that we got to start recognizing to be a fact, is when you win these offices, whether
you're not just looking after a party, you're looking after the
people.
Those
are your people. They're all your people, whether they're Democrat or Republican. They're all your people because we're in the same country. Now, you have your constituent, your base.
Yeah.
And if I may say, they should come first on your itinerary.
Right.
But in doing so, you still have to approach this so that yeah, your constituents get the things that they're opting for.
Right.
But then the people that are opting against, you got to be able to do something to satisfy them as well.
Right.
You know, and it's hard to juggle.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But it can be done.
It can.
It can be done. It so, can. So while we have a nominee, presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party, has energized the base.
Right.
Let's not stop after she win or after she's been nominated officially.
Okay.
Let's keep the energy level flowing, you know, because the more energy that is put into this push, Republicans the same.
Yeah.
You know, the more energy that you place into your campaign, the greater the yield. You know, so let's keep it up, Democrats and Republicans, you know, and a handful of independents. If, you know, once you get to listen to what each of these candidates are offering,
right,
from an independent perspective, you may be able to get behind one of these candidates.
And if I may add, don't really matter what the views are. We're all hungry. We all need money, and we all need to be treated fairly.
Yeah.
Point blank, period. Maybe Republicans see it a different light than the Democrats. The Democrats see a different light than the Republicans, but we are all hungry. Well, like, yeah, at the end of the day, we're all hungry.
But again, though, you say they may see it differently, but look, here's where we all going.
Right.
You know, we all traveling in the same direction.
Right.
But we all taking different paths. Okay, so when you arrive, you know, there's enough resources for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so if you cut the pie or if you break the fish.
Yeah.
In portions, enough to feed everybody.
You know what I mean?
Enough to feed everybody.
Gotta feed everybody.
Yeah, man, you know, it's enough for everybody. So they just need to get the mindset on the same path. But at any rate,
let's get into
it. And we will see how the founding fathers actually, through the power of Congress, you'll see how they felt the same way.
Right.
You know, in other words, everything that, and it's kind of, it always amazes me once I start looking at the Constitution, you know, and you going back, you know, 200 years, you know, 250 years, man, these guys knew that some point in the future, people would be misbehaving.
Right.
You know, contrite, devious, demonic, you know. And there was very limited focus on everybody doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you look at this thing, you see that they drafted this Constitution to keep everybody at check, at bay.
Right.
You know, in other words, don't overstep your boundaries. These are boundaries in the matter of speaking.
Right.
You know, so when you look at how the founders has given all this power to Congress, not to the president, but to Congress.
Right.
You know, and at the end of each one of these clauses, you know, they say the Congress shall have the power to override or amend or whatever it takes to rectify the problem.
Right.
That power was always given to Congress, not the Supreme Court, not the president, but to Congress.
Yeah.
So when we get to Article 8, Article 1, Section 8, we'll see that there are 18 clauses just in Section 8,
right,
in which we will not be going through all 18 today. But a few of them we've already discussed. And they almost always start out with, the Congress shall have the power.
Mm.
The Congress shall have the power. So that means that they've already designated power.
Yep.
You know, and so when you think about the Congress, Democrats and Republicans, he didn't say a particular party. He said Congress. They say Congress shall have.
Mm-hmm.
So that means to me that even if we are different parties, we're supposed to converse to come up with the ultimate solution. We're not enemies. We are all fellows of the same camp.
Yep.
You know, you happen to have your constituents and I may have mine.
Right.
But we're all in the same camp. You're a Democrat or I'm a Democrat, you're Republican or vice versa. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Because we're talking about the person of, you know, of the, same, the head of the same coin.
Mm.
You know, so you flip it over, you got a different side.
Yeah.
You know, so, but they gave Congress all of this power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises.
Mm.
Okay, now, those monies, those taxes, if you will.
Okay.
Those taxes was needed because they needed money to support or to pay for the defense during the Civil War or afterwards. So, and we're still looking at, and people don't realize that, we're still looking at an aspect. When you think of excise taxes,
mm-hmm.
okay, go to your gas pump. You know, you can't see, but there are two taxes on to your, the cost of your gasoline per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
I think the federal government has one, and then the state imposes. Then look at people that are still indulging in carcinogenics. You know, when you go and purchase your cigarettes, there's a state tax, and that's an excise tax,
yeah.
You know, that you have to send to Uncle Sam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, so these taxes are still being utilized to fund part of the your governmental operations.
Right.
And I don't think they'll be going anywhere. So, you know, as we look at how Congress has, you know, given them power to levy taxes, duties, imposts, excise to pay debt, to fund the general welfare of defense of the United States. So we're going to always have those taxes to pay. And sometimes you go, particularly when, here's the one that I kind of cringe on, you know, when we start getting into your local taxes.
Okay.
And it just take the school tax for an example. Here's a, I call it an idiosyncrasy.
Okay.
I don't have kids in school, so why am I paying a school tax?
No, that's
you know what I'm saying?
No, that's yeah, it's not the first time I've heard that question.
And here's another one that I can't seem to wrap my head around. Well, guess what? I paid for the house. The house is sitting on the property that I bought. Why am I still paying taxes on my property?
Yeah.
You know? But at any rate, this practice is sometimes known as tax and spend. I think the first time I ever heard that cliche was during Reagan administration.
Okay.
You know, and that's what they used to accuse, actually both parties has accused each other of, you know, their basic rule is tax and spend. You know, they throw that at the Democrats a lot, tax and spend,
yeah.
Tax and spend, you know. But this tax and spend thing was a practice that was put in place so that they can continue to raise revenue.
Right.
You know, because the government otherwise doesn't have any sources of revenue.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like your states where, you know, they can have a lottery going where they get money for different activities inside the state. They, you know, the government is not into that form of business. So Congress could choose who and what to tax.
Yeah.
So they were given that power. They can decide who they want to charge for taxes. They can use their taxing power to regulate and control private businesses as well.
Right.
And there was an interesting story. I didn't quite understand exactly where they were coming from, but then when it was talking about the commerce clause, one of the clauses here that they talk about, to regulate commerce with foreign nations, the states, and the Indian tribes. Okay, so Congress was given that power as well to regulate commerce.
Okay.
So during that time, there was in the a situation going on in the beginning. There was some ambiguity about the etymology of the word commerce. They couldn't quite figure out exactly what was deemed to be commerce.
Gotcha.
Okay, which though thought to refer to buying and selling. So that's where most of their mindset was.
Right.
For commerce, buying, selling.
Gotcha.
Buying, selling. So there was this guy named Thomas Gibbons.
Okay.
Gibbons wanted to operate a steamship between New York and New Jersey on a license that was granted by Congress.
Okay.
Okay, and so now the issue comes up. Oh, so why are you taxing me? Because I'm not buying anything and I'm not selling anything.
Right.
Okay, so Aaron Ogden, he wanted to operate steamship on New York waters, and he argued that transporting passengers did not constitute commerce. So, you know, they've been battling with these definitions and even from the beginning, man.
Right.
You know, so commerce has always been a big issue for, and they finally concluded, you know, that if you were earning, if you were getting paid from your endeavor, then it would be classified in some form as commerce, you know.
So if that isn't the most broad spectrum. if they put a dollar in your hand, that's commerce. Like, whoa, what if they were just giving me a dollar because it was my birthday? I got to pay you because it's my birthday.
How about that? Hey, so look, in 1862, Lincoln signed into law a revenue-raising measure to pay the expenses of the Civil War. This measure created a commissioner for the Internal Revenue Service and the nation's first income tax.
Mm.
1862.
Wow.
Yeah.
They've been robbing us for years.
Oh yeah, they aren't through either, yeah. You know. And incidentally, that we were talking about immigrants. So another one of the clauses that Congress was given power over is the Uniform Rules of Naturalization and Uniform Law on Bankruptcies. Now this, speaking of bankruptcies, I just was picking up an article today about the furniture company Conn's, C-O-N-N-S,
yeah,
filing for Chapter 11.
Well, I mean, they bought out one of Rooms to Go's biggest buildings.
And they also, you know, they also bought Badcock, too.
Oof.
Yeah, you know, so this interest thing is killing them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because people are, look, you know, sometimes you see furniture as being not a necessity, but, you know,
a luxury.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and when it's when the interest rates are high, man, that thing go on the back burner. As long as three legs are still under the chair, you know, we're going to sit on it until this interest rates come down.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll replace that chair.
And you would think that the government would notice that. Just we're willing to hang on to our busted vehicles a little while longer if it means that we get to save a dollar.
Yeah, but, you know, it, to your point, but see, they don't look at you and me.
Right.
You know, and this is what I like about the Federal Reserves.
Okay.
Because they don't look at parties. They're truly one of the greatest nonpartisan agencies in our country, gotcha. Besides the IRS.
Okay.
You know, they don't look at Democrat, Republican, Independent, or NPAs, you know, none of that stuff, man. Right. They look at the country as a whole. Because all the numbers lead straight back to the feds.
Yeah.
You know, and Jerome Powell's sitting over there. He's going like, look, I'm still seeing higher than 2% interest or inflation. So until I see it come back down, you know, around the 2%, we're not going to cut interest rates. You know, although, and it's kind of ironic because the signs that we're seeing that says that we have high inflation is not the typical signs, you know. And I just realized that job cutting, okay, cutting jobs is part of the formula, you know, to get interest rates down. Wow. Because as long as you're hovering around what they call full employment. It means that we've got all these 100 million jobs, you know, everybody is working.
Yep.
And when everybody is working, that means that everything is flying off the shelf and the interest rates are still high.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, that's contrary to what it should look like,
yeah.
You know, with inflation.
Yeah.
You know, inflation, when inflation is down, you know, then interest rates should be
down.
But we're seeing inflation up, interest rate up, and jobs are up.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, people are still spending.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a mixed signal for the feds.
It's kind of a eyebrow raiser if you really want to put it into a light. Like, people living paycheck to paycheck. Y'all said that what the article stated that, I forget the name of the article, but it stated that individuals that are making six figures is also living paycheck to paycheck. When you read things like that, it's just like, if we're all living paycheck to paycheck, how the hell is we buying all of this stuff?
That's why we live in paycheck to paycheck, because we still buying crap, you know. I look, you can't talk down on the people that think that they still need that item.
Right.
You know, if they got the dollars to disperse for it, you know, I applaud them.
Right.
You know, I can't say, hey, no, don't buy that yet. You know, wait. I can't do that. And no one in their right mind would be doing that.
At all.
But then at the end of the day, I got to wait till my next paycheck to make the payment. You know what I'm saying? So that puts you sort of behind the eight ball, so to speak.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's backwards thinking for anybody that decides that, you know, because like you said, I'm not going to tell somebody that they're not allowed to spend the money on the things that they desire.
Right.
You know, but I've had this rule in my household for about 4 or 5 years now, which is if you're going to go buy something out there, pay a bill first.
Yeah.
It don't matter which bill it is. Just
exactly.
Exactly. Once you pay the bill, if you still got the money to get that, then go ahead and get it. But
do your thing, man.
You know, pay one bill before you buy something, you know, for you.
Yeah. So, the legislature of the United States shall have the power Okay.
Okay.
Then clause four says, Congress, and you just gotta, I don't know how is it that our politicians today doesn't focus on home in, that's who they need to be courting.
Yeah.
You know, these people need to be courting Congress because they have all the power, man. Congress has all the power.
All of it.
Congress has the power exclusively.
Oh, damn. It says exclusively?
Exclusively to grant citizenship to a foreign national.
Get out of here.
And then it says, look, it says, no state has that power that establishes laws and processes and the processes.
Okay.
So now, but there's a 10-step process to come into America.
Right.
You know, and we won't go through all 10 of them because I'm sure that the people that are trying to enter our wonderful country probably know how this works.
Right.
You know, if not, if they don't, then their attorneys are coaching them through it. But
right.
One of the first steps of the 10, it says, determine if you are already a citizen.
How do you determine something like that?
Is that born in the U.S.
Okay.
Born in the U.S., at least one parent, a U.S. citizen, before you turned 18.
Okay.
If that fits you, then guess what?
You're a citizen.
Okay. Then it goes to step two. Now you determine your eligibility. Okay, to determine your eligibility, at least 18 years of age, permanent residence for at least 5 years. Okay. If you are married to a U.S. citizen for 3 years, sometimes your military status has a set of different requirements, but sometimes your military status comes into play on this as well.
Gotcha.
So if you all of that fits you, then you're good to go. But right. If not, you need to visit the website, United States Immigration Services.
Gotcha.
.gov. And you need to fill out the N-400 form.
Okay.
Prepare the form, application for naturalization. You know, and these people that's going through the process know they have to have the two passport photos and, you know, they fill out the N-400. And if you have some kind of medical necessity or requirements, then you fill out another form that's the 648, N-648. But, you know, this thing goes on and on and on. But guess what? Congress has the power, you know. So all of you that are wishing to become a U.S. citizen, go through the process, and there's a list of rights that you're given as you once you become.
Okay. What are some of those rights?
Freedom of expression.
Able to say what you want to say, people.
Freedom of expression. Now, you know that many, particularly your communists and other autocracy countries, you know, you can get locked up for life for...
Damn, man, you can get killed.
Yeah, well, that too, you know. But you can get locked up for life for stating your opinion about your government.
Right.
Namely China, namely Russia.
We're not name dropping stuff.
Okay. Freedom to worship Isn't that something?
Whatever religion you believe in.
Freedom to worship, man. And, you know, I was sitting there after I read that. I'm going like, wow, really, man? You mean a lot of these countries can't worship who or where or what they want?
I would like to think that there may be a Muslim country that looks down on Christianity or, you know, Buddhism or, you know, Jewish.
Yeah, but still, you know, they're community based. I mean, what country that are a Muslim nation, okay, and you can't have Christianity? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get
what country is Buddha and you can't have Muslims?
I'd say some, but we're not name dropping.
Okay. but then you're given your freedom to worship.
There you go.
Okay.
You can preach. You can praise whoever you want to praise over here, people.
And, okay, here's another one that's a big one on my focal point.
Let's hear it.
Right to a speedy trial. And fair trial by a jury of your peers.
Now, that's tricky to me. Because you know me, I'm a little literal when it comes to it. Because if I have the right to a speedy and fair trial of jury of my peers, and I'm foreign, my jury better be foreign.
well, if that's one thing that you learn to appreciate. You never had to go jury duty yet.
I'm never gonna do.
You don't know.
No, I'm never doing.
You never know.
I'm never doing.
Well, you'll get fined if you don't. If they call you and you don't,
they'll never call me. They'll call you before me because they'll have us mistaken.
I've already done mine.
You done. Mom did twice. You did one.
Yeah, Miss G
did hers.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
But you know.
You know why? Because I got to charge them.
Yeah. Well, that can be moved.
It can be. It was very petty, but
yeah,
I feel like they overlooked me due to that.
Well, maybe not, you know.
Let me just be thankful. Because I don't like the idea of being the say-so to whether or not a person goes to jail.
Well, no, here's the thing. And now, today, you know, they've, particularly in the state of Florida,
right,
where, you know, for a convicted felon for murder, I should say, for mm-hmm. murder, it used to have to be a unanimous decision.
Right. But now it's like a
4-8.
4-8?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4-8 can get you sent to the electric chair, so to speak.
Gotcha.
You know, or get you convicted for murder, get you a death sentence. You know.
So 4 yeas, people. Think about that.
Yeah. But you know, as we say, you have the right to a speedy trial. In other words, they can't just lock you up and sit you in there for 5 years before
you get
a trial.
Right.
And, you know, fair, you know, well.
Fair is a very vague term.
Fair is a matter of perspective.
There you go. That's the best way to put it right
You know,
there.
Because, you know, in some parts of the world, you know, a person tell a lie that you would consider a lie.
But they would look at it as
something
a convoluted
different.
Truth.
Yeah, it might be considered convoluted truth.
Right.
You know, but I'm thinking of a certain person that was brought up in the Buddhist faith,
right.
You know, and he thought that, you know, because of his religion background, he had the right to break a marital oath.
Okay.
He felt that because he performed started working and training at a very, very early age, you know, and he got married, he thought that he had a right to commit an adultery.
Right.
You know, So some religions don't see the truth, a base of truth, as we in America base our truths.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of tricky. But
what we would consider a sin,
right?
Other people would.
But in America, you know, we apply our truths.
Gotcha.
And then you have the right to vote for public officials.
Now that one cringes me a little bit.
Well, they need to vote. If you're gonna be part of a society, your voice has to be heard. Why not?
Because they got some immunities that we don't have.
Well, no, not once.
Not once
you become a citizen.
Right. I get that, but I mean, come on now. I just feel like for you, just because you became a citizen, I feel like there should be a statute as far as how long you have been a citizen before you get that right. Because I don't like the idea that a person can come in here, become a citizen in 5 years, and he has a say so better than, like, as well as I do.
Well, that's the point of becoming a citizen. You know, so look, here's
well, you said that they had to be here at least permanent residents for at least 5 years.
That's using the other requirements.
Okay.
You know, to determine your eligibility or to determine if you're already a citizen.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
But once you go through the 10-step process,
right,
you're given these sets of rights.
Oh, okay. So they got to go through. Okay, that's different.
So now, you know, it used to be a daunting, long, drawn-out process.
I get that, yeah.
You know, so by the time a person would be granted citizenship,
yeah,
he or she could have been here for 10 years.
Right. So, at that point, they got just as much of a say.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So, and that would have
I'm
given
thinking,
them.
I'm thinking it's no. You can vote. No.
Well, it'll be as once they've been granted.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be able to do it. But then you would think that, you know, a student of knowledge.
I guess what would help me clear my head on it is when coming into the country, do you have to have a green card first and then become a citizen? Or can you be cross seas, get your citizenship, and then come?
No, you have to, well, the way it's going now, you have to apply for a green card.
Okay, so you have to get the green card before you become the citizen.
Now, if you use a process that they have in place now, you have to apply before you leave your country that you're in.
Okay.
You know, this is what they want you to do now. Go on the computer, you know, and apply.
Right.
You know, then when you get to the borders, you know, then you're given your card, you know, to enter.
Right.
And then, you know, you have a time period for application.
Okay.
You know, so.
But that makes more sense for me. Thank you.
So you'll have the right to vote for public officials, the right to apply for federal employment.
They can get a job in the federal office.
Well, they have to qualify. But,
I mean, of course. But,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
You're a freaking doctor over there, no way you're not getting that job.
You know what I'm saying? We need doctors and nurses. Come on.
Yeah,
you know.
For sure. Let's do it.
And then you have, I love this one.
Let's go.
Because you have the right to run for elected office.
Stop playing. Does that include presidency?
You get to apply to, well, you remember, you got to be 35.
Right.
You have to have lived in the country for about 5 years, you know. And then you can apply to, you know, you can campaign for president. You can put your name on a ballot, man. You can't do that nowhere else. Only in America.
And I tell you what, I think that's pretty cool.
That's dope, man. The idea, to use that term.
The idea that you could be anywhere in the world and just go, I'm going to go run America real quick.
But now, go through
the entire process.
But think about it. Stop and think about this now.
Okay.
I just want you to stop and think, because that's what we have been seeing for 250 years.
Well, yeah.
Even with the founders.
Yeah.
They were not American people.
Yeah.
You know, they were foreigners.
Yeah, they came through it.
Yeah, out of England and Europe, man. They weren't. Who are the natives? And we talked about, and you know, it's so funny too, because when you're going through this Constitution, they only mention the tribunals once. That's so hurtful. Far.
That's hurtful.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The land of Native America, and they've only been mentioned once so far in Article 1 to Section 8. While we're going to come to a conclusion here, because again, you know, we're not going to be able to cover all this,
of course,
all 18 clauses. So,
okay.
But at any rate, yeah, so you see what your future can be if you come here legally.
Yeah.
You know, you come to America legally, man, you know, the sky's the limit, you know, and we'll embrace you with open arms. But if you come across the woods through the paths and the grease weeds and...
Or the water.
You know, or the water, you know, you're not welcomed. And I think I speak for America, you know, on that point only.
There you go. Yeah.
On that point
only. Way to be specific, Pops.
Yeah, you know, on that point only. You know, if you come here, because it's an invasion. I happen to agree with one of the campaign ads that I've been noticing on the networks. You know, it's truly an invasion.
Yeah.
You know, because you're overrunning our borders and you're coming in here illegally.
Yes.
You know, so.
Life is so much easier when you can do it the right way. Am I right, people?
It's definitely more rewarding.
It's.
You know, definitely.
Well, you know,
more rewarding.
Back when I used to be a knucklehead running the streets, and then deciding to say goodbye to the streets, you realize life is so much better when you're not looking over your shoulder.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure you could resonate with that from a military standpoint. Man. It's a hell of a lot better to just wake up and be free than to wonder where Johnny's going to come.
Yeah, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, you're laying out there in your sleeper bag, if you will.
Right.
You know, and wondering when the invasion is going to happen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man. It's so much better to be in peace.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Listen to this, because this is the thing that's going to make you free in America.
Talk to him.
You know.
Let him know, Pop.
No. Well, I mean, you know, point blank.
Yeah.
You got to be legal.
Got to.
So if you're not, then you're going to be always wondering when they're going to pass a law that we can stop and search for naturalization papers. When are they going to pass that law? They give the cops the autonomy to stop anybody at will, you know, because you are here illegally. We're going to be looking for you.
Yeah.
You know.
But then I can see why it's taking too long for that to pass, because then that's prejudicial.
Well, you know, it's an invasion of privacy for the most part.
It's just that you're looking for naturalization. I mean, a black person would be good to be here, but a darker black person might be like, he might be African. Let's check. Like,
I think it has to be done with some kind of training, though. I mean, because then I think they was doing that, and then it was called racial profiling.
Yeah.
You know, New York was big on it.
Yeah.
You know, they were stopping anybody
frisk on everybody.
Anybody dark.
I remember those days.
Yeah, you know, so probable cause.
Right.
You know, you got to have probable cause.
Gotcha.
So what's a probable cause in an invasion perspective? You know, because people don't walk around with their naturalization card on them or shit you. How do I know that you might be invaded the border, you hear illegally just by watching it.
Right.
You know.
No, I get it. Ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned something about peace. It's a hell of a lot better to be able to wake up and be free than to wake up and look over your shoulder. I tell you what, though, that look over your shoulder will be based on who you're putting in office come November. And honestly, I'm not trying to advocate for a side. I just want you to know you got to pick one and stand on it.
Exactly.
Got to pick one and you got to stand on it. If you're going to stand with Trump, you got to stand with Trump all the way. If you're going to stand with Harris, you better stand with Harris all the way.
Yeah, you can't stand half and half.
And regardless of whatever the hell you read on the ads, whatever you see on the network television, both of them have dirty pasts. They're both not perfect. So figure out which one is best for your life. OG, what you going to leave them with?
The same. You know, while we don't advocate for a single side.
Right.
You know, we just hope you're wise enough to look at the backgrounds, the things that each party has done, and what's more beneficial for your lifestyle.
There it is.
You know, so.
And for my foreigners that are listening, you're more than welcome to come take over this country. You're more than welcome to come through, go through the 10-step process, you get the 18 clause out the way, boom. You're a citizen, you can run for president, you can call your own shots, but you got to get over here the right way.
Absolutely.
Y'all been tuned in to Walk of the Walker, man. Y'all stay blessed out there, and above all else, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Ha ha, y'all be blessed out there.